This Ridley-O sponsored by FreedomDecrypted.com.
Recording is on.
Yes, I can hear you, Stephen, and I have started the recorder. Can you hear me? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. It's just us, huh?
Yeah, looks like it for the moment. Although we'll probably have a lot of people around too for a general liberty meeting.
Actually, we're like a whole bunch of people are going to show up.
Yeah, but they're not all. It's not really independence related per se. It's the New Hampshire Liberty Leads meeting. But this is for those who are just joining us on the podcast, or if you want to call it that. This is the New Hampshire Exit podcast and or meeting. And we discussed the New Hampshire Independence Drive. It's this Sunday, February 26th. I'm joined by Steve Axelman. I wanted to wait to start the recording until I had some stuff to read or report or whatnot. But I do have some material. Unless you have something you've learned recently, Steve, you have any news or anything you'd like to tell us about?
No, but I learned recently it's not February 26th.
Did I say 26th? I thought I said 6th.
No. Other than that, do you guys know when the supposed Senate hearing is going to be, if it's going to be?
No. All I know is that there is a projected House vote on this around February 15th or 17th or something like that. But the Senate thing is sort of a big mystery. I don't really understand what's going on with that.
Okay.
Some of the independence people have, I guess they have gotten some rates on billboards that they'd like to put up in downtown Manchester. But I don't know how far they've gotten with that.
Yeah, I saw some of the thread about that.
And in the absence of any other better information or better, more interesting news from you, I was just going to go ahead and read one of Alu's articles from libertyblock.com where he discusses an independence issue. So he has this article called Law Enforcement in the Republic of New Hampshire. And he says, quote, at libertyblock.com, he says, quote, what would law enforcement look like in the Republic of New Hampshire? A friend of mine asked me that question on the day of the historic hearing on CACR 32, legislation that would place the question of independence on the ballot if passed by the legislature. She supports liberty and state independence, but she was seriously concerned that we might not have any police if we cut ties with DC. The answer to the question is quite simple. When New Hampshire secedes, law enforcement will operate exactly as it does now. Actually, it will have a few minor changes, and all of them would make policing in New Hampshire much more pleasant for the officers and citizens. For those who are not yet aware, the New Hampshire State Police are funded by state taxes, and local police are primarily funded by local town and city taxes, with some grants by the state government. Leaving the union would not affect this basic funding mechanism. A minuscule portion of the money used for police operations in New Hampshire does come from DC, though. In 2017, the DOJ sent $500,000 in taxpayer money from DC to New Hampshire Police Department, reportedly to help them hire more officers. In 2019, the DHS sent $75,000 in taxpayer money from DC to the Portsmouth Police Department so they could buy surveillance drones. Some of the drones will have a powerful 30x zoom camera, which will allow a drone to surveil a place without the suspect knowing it's there, and a thermal imaging camera that will allow police to easily locate suspects in some cases, unsubquote, as reported by Patch.com. The Portsmouth Police Department now has 8 drones. Do you think we could survive without being surveilled by government drones? I believe that we would thrive without them. Unquote. Okay, so I'm going to pause there in the middle of the article in case anyone else has anything more important they want to interject.
Nope. I'm good.
All right. Yeah, it looks like anyone else is still just you and me. All right. So let's see. I will continue reading Alu Axelman's article. Quote, in 2014, the DHS sent $258,000 in taxpayer money from D.C. to the Concord Police Department to buy a Bearcat, a military-style tank vehicle hybrid. Do you think that we could survive without being terrorized by government military vehicles? I think that we would thrive without them. All sobriety checkpoints conducted by police in New Hampshire are funded by federal highway funds, according to the state government's website. Do you think that we could survive without being violated by illegal and due process violating sobriety checkpoints that will necessarily presume all drivers to be drunk until they prove they are sober? I believe that we would thrive without them. Once New Hampshire severs ties with D.C., it would be very unlikely for New Hampshire's cops to work in joint operations with federal agents such as CPB, ICE, FBI, ATF, and all other federal agencies. Over the past few years, local and state cops have worked on joint efforts with federal law enforcement officials to conduct due process violating immigration checkpoints in the middle of the state, due process violating asset forfeiture, stealing property from innocent Granite Staters without convicting them of any crime, a massive raid on the Crypto Six, a group of Keene residents charged with various federal crimes related to using cryptocurrency. The innocent individuals are currently being punished in various ways despite not being convicted yet. They're facing decades in prison if convicted of all the crimes they are being charged with. None of the charges involve any crimes in which there are any actual victims. Do you believe we could survive without federal agents working with local and state cops to accomplish the above tasks? I am sure we would thrive without them. Another change would allow police officers to be held accountable for violating civil rights of citizens. Currently, a federal doctrine called qualified immunity makes it impossible to sue police officers for violating your civil rights unless you can prove that they knew they were violating a civil right that was previously established by a court case with the exact same set of circumstances as your case. The federal government created the doctrine of qualified immunity and then extended the protection to state and local government officials. Once we leave the union, this doctrine will no longer protect police from being held accountable in court. Once we leave the union, federal drug laws would not apply. The DEA would never again break into someone's home to search for drugs. The war on drugs would likely end immediately or gradually within a few years after secession. In the broader sense, nearly every violation of due process has roots in D.C. Much like asset forfeiture, eminent domain, the government taking your property for public use, is a federal doctrine that D.C. politicians extended to state and municipal governments. Without ties to D.C., both of those forms of legalized theft by police disappear. Additionally, police officers in New Hampshire would become much happier, which benefits them, their families, and their communities. In addition to being relieved from no longer being required to participate in a tyrannical system, every cop would save around 25% of their income due to the abolition of the income tax. Considering that all other federal taxes, including the 21% tax on businesses and regulations, would no longer exist, every person in society would be much more prosperous. In summary, nothing would change about our law enforcement operations in New Hampshire, except that it would become substantially better, less tyrannical, and more accountable. I could live with that. Prisons. All jails and prisons within New Hampshire will continue to operate after secession, exactly as they did when we were part of the Union. There is a medium security federal prison and a minimum security federal prison camp in Berlin, New Hampshire. Only 587 total federal prisoners reside in them, according to prisonerresource.com. It is impossible to predict exactly what the state police and or attorney general would negotiate with D.C., but these prisoners would likely be transferred to other federal prisons or to other state prisons. None of those scenarios would be terribly remarkably difficult or unusual. The only part of the transition that may not be extremely quick and easy might be the state of New Hampshire's government formally buying the federal prison property from the federal government. Assuming the property is owned by DC, this sale may cost New Hampshire some money. Exactly how negotiations would go or what they would entail is anybody's guess. The state and local penitentiaries would continue to operate as they did before the split. Courts. Within New Hampshire, there are federal, state, and county courts. The state and county courts would continue to operate as they always have. The federal courts would no longer operate within the borders of New Hampshire. The state government would likely buy the federal court buildings from the federal government. The justice systems within New Hampshire would continue to prosecute crimes as before. The federal government, courts, and agents would no longer have any jurisdiction within New Hampshire. This would mean that federal crimes would no longer exist. Unless prohibited by state law, Granite Staters would be able to smoke cannabis while buying suppressors for their machine guns using their favorite cryptocurrency, if that's what they desire. Fire, water, trash, and other utilities. A surprising number of people have expressed concern about how fire departments and other municipal systems would function once New Hampshire leaves the Union. This is such a simple answer that we cannot dedicate a whole chapter to answering it. Even more so than law enforcement, fire departments will remain almost completely unchanged. The only potential changes may involve fewer federal regulations, allowing firefighters more flexibility and freedom. However, most fire departments would likely continue to adhere to national and international firefighting standards because they are regulated by non-governmental associations that credential fire departments, because they keep the firefighters and their communities safe. There may be some small losses from occasional federal grants. The biggest change will likely be the elimination of the federal income tax, which would allow the average firefighter in New Hampshire to keep an extra 20 to 30% of their income. Municipal systems such as garbage collection, water and sewer maintenance, and many others would likely remain even more unchanged than fire departments. Unquote. That's the end of Alu's article.
Okay.
Have you already read that, Steve?
Most of it, I think so, yeah.
What's your take on his take?
I don't argue with much of it. I think it's good. I think people are making way too big a deal about how many things would change. So, especially those kind of local issues.
Yeah, it is some folks, it is kind of, you know, it's like, how could you possibly think that we would need the federal government for that thing? You know, there are some other things where, yeah, okay, the federal government kind of does do that. But some other people are like, well, how would there be any roads or how would there be anything? How would we be allowed to trade? The federal government doesn't do those things.
We got along before the federal government, and the idea that the federal government is perpetual forever and ever and ever, and without them we cannot survive, is so antithetical to the history of the country, the way it was set up, where the federal government didn't do that much anyway. So,
well, and I should clarify, they do some of those things. I mean, they do some road stuff, but
with the interstate, but through most of American history, that didn't apply. What will happen to the interstate? We'll figure it out.
Yeah, it's like Pete Ayer said at the hearing, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. Yeah, of course there are going to be disruptions and challenges to something like this. But we're not competing with perfect here. We're competing with, how long did it take them to finish a hole in the ground in New York when they were trying to build that, you know, whatever they built where the Twin Towers were? It was all they could do to put a hole in the ground. It took them, 4 years to get a hole in the ground?
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
And then the F-35, right? Like, you know, they developed the P-51 Mustang in about 4 months. The F-35 has been in development now for what, 20 years?
Yes, they are definitely efficient.
And does it even fly? Welcome, Ian. Ian's, I think Ian has his microphone off. So I'll keep jawboning until.
Hey, sorry, guys. Good morning or good afternoon.
Welcome, sir. Do you have any, NH exit news?
Let's see. We had some conversation in the Element or the Matrix chat over the last several days about getting a billboard for NH exit or independence or whatever it would say. So I went and talked to the Libertarian Party. They had purchased a billboard last year. I don't know if it was over the summer. They kind of did like an off and on sort of thing. So it wasn't there constantly. I guess it would go up for some time and then come down and then go back up. But anyway, they paid for about 5 weeks and it was around, I think they said $4,000 or something like that. So it was pretty expensive. But then I reached out to the company that has the billboards on the side of Murphy's Tap Room in Manchester. And theirs are much more reasonable. They're only like $1,200 a month if you do a few months. And if you were to do like a whole year-long contract, it's $1,000 a month. So it comes down to when they it's not a full-time billboard. You get like, I think it's once every 2 minutes, you get an 8-second billboard. So it rotates with other billboards. It's one of those digital devices. And so that seemed pretty reasonable to me. $1,000
a month. I'm sorry to interrupt you, by the way. You're quite a bit louder than Steven, so you might want to step back a little bit.
Yeah, no problem.
We're getting some complaints on Telegram that people are finding the, wildly changing audio levels in our podcast is making it hard to listen to.
Yeah, that'll happen with the conference call for sure. Anyway, it's $1,000 a month, basically, if you were to do a year long, or $1,200. So whether that'll will transform into anything in the future, I don't know. I just did the initial kind of groundwork to see what they were charging for that. And, you know, didn't seem too crazy. Other news. There's Matt Santanastasio sent me a message this week saying that he's expecting the full House hearing on CACR 32 to be either Wednesday or Thursday, the 16th or the 17th. So
you mean vote, not hearing. Vote.
Sorry, yeah, the vote. The full House vote will be that either Wednesday or Thursday, the 16th or the 17th. He does not know which day it will be at this point, but there should be some sort of a schedule available possibly as soon as this coming Wednesday. So we should get an update on that this week. And then hopefully we'll be able to roll out the troops to stand there, at the various different entrances to this. What sounds like it's going to be the convention center in Manchester, where they used to hold the Liberty Forum at. I don't know if you are familiar with that location. The Doubletree, I think, is what it's called now. Did I lose you?
We got you.
So yeah, it's supposed to be, I think that's the biggest space that they have in New Hampshire for meetings and such. So okay. That's okay. So it's private property, but since they're having a government meeting there, it should still have the same, technically it should still have the same access ability as any government meeting somewhere. So kind of my opinion, it sort of turns the private property into state property while the state's having a meeting there.
Yeah, I haven't heard any reports of people being like blocked from going into these state house events that are not at the state house, but maybe I'm missing something.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I would like to go and watch it as well, but I also want to have people ideally outside with, signs and flyers and things like that. I want the state reps to have to walk through a crowd of people to get into this thing so they know, they know we're there.
Yeah.
So that's all I got right now.
I had a thought kind of in the article I was reading gave me a thought or two. And that is, I think that it's easy for those of us who are in favor of independence to sort of, we sort of fail to account for the disruptions that would be caused by the federal government, and perhaps intentionally. If you look at Estonia, they've had various problems over the years, you know, where Moscow will do something to them. And that impedes to some extent their ability to prosper separate from Moscow, but obviously they have still managed to do so. So my expectation is that there will be, you know, fits and starts and problems and various things will not go as well as expected. But again, I'm in favor of it because it's, we're not competing with perfect, right? You know, we just, it doesn't need to be perfect to be a lot better than it is now.
No doubt.
I think part of the issue is convincing people that it's not very good now, because that rep who said, well, it's really not that bad. So,
it's, you know, it's like Reagan said, a recession is when your neighbor loses his job, and a depression is when you lose your job. So that guy, you know, he's just one of those people who for some reason or another, the situation hasn't hit him hard enough yet.
And you remember what recovery was.
Recovery, yes, when it's when Jimmy Carter loses his job. But I like to say it's when the federal government loses its job.
Well, maybe that's not a bad way to put it.
Yeah. If no one has anything else, I will call the meeting and log out. Or something along those lines. However, there is a general Liberty meeting at 2 p.m. on this channel.
So just staying here, and that's going to be in the same place.
Yeah, I should say it's a general New Hampshire Liberty meeting.
Well,
all right, I'll take it that as a note of, and that no one has anything else, and I will go ahead and exit, so to speak.
Guys, have a great day. Oh, hey, Dave, wasn't the main group of Liberty kind of general group supposed to meet today or something at 2:00? Is that still a thing?
Yeah, that's what I was just announcing again. And yeah, that's in about a half an hour.
All right, cool. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
This Ridley O sponsored by FreedomDecrypted.com, a New Hampshire-based liberty-slanted tech show for prickly persons. So prickly, in fact, that at least one of them has become a political prisoner. Tune in and find out why the man can't stand FreedomDecrypted.com.